This conference will.
Great. Oh, I forgot to ask. Any questions out in the audience? All right, good. No one's got any questions. We can hit those at the end as well. So super. So let's jump in and talk about the Association of Network Marketing Professionals. Maybe some of you have never heard of it. That's like me. I've never heard of it because I don't usually go to these kind of things, okay? And but it's been around. It's been an organization that's been around for about 9 years. It's still not really it wobbled a lot in its early stages because the problem with network marketing and having a convention of network marketers is what? You guys can figure that one out. Everybody goes there to solicit everybody else to come into their company, right? It's like a nightmare concept to think you put all these networkers from 25 different, I bet you we had, I don't know, at least 25 different companies, maybe 30. We had over 500 people there, so there might have been 500 different companies. No, not really, because there were tables of groups from different companies. You really didn't know because there was no advertising being done. I mean, that was one of the taboos. You don't advertise. You don't hand out cards. You don't solicit. You don't, you know, I mean, that's just part of who we are. But in the past, they've had a hard time with this. They got people that would come in and solicit and do all sorts of stuff because they were just so anxious about their business. They couldn't stand it to be in a room of 500 networkers and not be able to tell their story to snitch them away. Well, that didn't happen. But in the past, they've had troubles with that, so they've upgraded it, and they've brought new standards in, and you can see the sophistication of it. They have a board of directors now. They did a vote of a new board while I was there, and some great leaders are helping to support this and run this organization to help it grow and be sophisticated. So in the past, the lack of vision or too competitive or all those things that happened, why are they totally all in on this concept? Well, when you think about it, every single organization of career professionals, no matter what it is, whether it's the Lawyers Organization, the American Bar Association, or the AMA, the American Medical Association, or Real Estate Brokers Association, I mean, every single career type have their own national organizations except network marketers. I mean, and why shouldn't we? I mean, there's an incredible importance around collaboration, how we can help each other just purely through collaboration, hear each other's stories, get, you know, incentivized by what other people are achieving. And it's not about, you know, one of the beautiful things the whole weekend, it was funny, every time a speaker got up and they'd start talking about their experience around it, the people at our table were looking at each other, most of us towards Al, because he's been in network marketing so long, more than any of us. We go, what company is she with? What company is he with? I mean, just out of intrigue, we wanted to know what business they were doing. You know, was it, and I mean, virtually everyone I heard, I'd never heard of before. Isn't that hilarious? I mean, there was like, yeah, there was somebody from Amway, but I mean, there were these companies I'd never heard of before, and it was wild. It was like crazy. I said, wow, I didn't even know they existed. Of course, that's because network marketing companies pop up every day, right? And some of them are outside our geographics, too. They're, you know, Asia is one of the biggest markets for network marketing, and there are companies over there that aren't, you know, involved in the United States marketplace. So, And you can say, wow, who would have ever thought of that happening 20 years ago when you had the biggest consumer in the world sitting here in the United States of America, and now network marketing companies are growing up out of Asia because why? Because that's the fastest growing economic area. I mean, you look at India and China and all those areas around there, it's amazing. You know, so we're kind of like secondary in some of those companies. So that's pretty intriguing as well. But the idea is that we needed an association. We needed to be viewed by the public as professionals, and it helps all of us. I mean, I've always viewed myself as a professional, no matter what. But some of us have looked at network marketing, or we see that people with the nasal, are you network marketing, you know? And so by having our own association, we're adding tremendous credibility to who we are and what this is all about. And so that's a huge link of this, that we want acknowledgement of the professionalism of our business, and that's what we're putting at with this organization. I signed up, by the way. I'm now a card-carrying member of the Network Marketing Professionals. Lydia, you did too? Yeah, so Lydia is also a card-carrying member. It was all of $20, so it was cool. And you can do it online if you choose to do that, just to become a member of it. And I think that's a neat thing you can actually add to your card, that you're a member of the Association of Network Marketing Professionals. I think that if you added that on your card, I'm not making a new card per se for that, but if you put that on your card or you talked about it I think it adds a little bit more credibility. How much more? I can't tell you, but it adds a little bit more credibility to who you are and what you're doing. Okay? So there you go. Just some background information on the Association of Network Marketing Professionals. The insight, I wanted to go through, and I think I have about seven people, I think, that I wanted to share with you today, their testimonies and their experiences. And the reason I wanted to go through this is because there are certain things among these people. I mean, they gave a tremendous amount of insight. In fact, with respect to Paula Pritchard, I'll probably do an entire Monday call just on her stuff. All I'm doing right now is really talking more about her experience than all the great things that she gave us. In fact, I said next week I'm going to do the Paula Pritchard system because it wowed me. And Paula was with Amway, but it really wowed me. I loved what I heard. I loved the structure. I loved the approach. I loved the step-by-step. So I want to review that with everybody, and I want to put that in a Monday call as well. So the other people in here, some of them, you know, it's just giving you insights into what they shared as insights and then looking at what was a common thread among all of them. I have extra ones to add, so let's run through it. It's going to take time and, you know, highlight what you like and what you don't like, what you can leave behind. But these people, every one of the people that I'm going to talk about today are multimillionaires in network marketing. And that doesn't mean they made millions in network marketing. That means they're sitting today worth multimillions. And some of them have done very distinct things with their millions, and I hopefully get a chance to highlight a couple of them with you. But it's really pretty phenomenal what they've achieved. And for the most part, these people were everyday common people, and you're going to hear some of them I have backgrounds on, other ones I don't, but I'll highlight those. So let's jump in and let's get to work on each one of these individuals to just share their experience around it. And the first thing you need to do is sit back today and say, I can be just like them. Instead of going, well, what makes me different? They had this advantage, or they had. I want you never to get that in your head. That is absolutely the furthest thing from the truth. Every one of you on the call have greatness beyond any one of these individual people. But what we have a tendency to do sometimes, which is why I'm bringing this up front, we have a tendency to say, you know, what distinguishes them from me, and that's why I haven't made it. You know, and that's there's nothing. There's nothing that from their background, from their skill set, anything. It's what they chose to do and how they chose to grow themselves and their skill sets. Look at that concept and say, how can I choose differently in my life to create results beyond what they created? That's how you grow. Be open and ready to hear and learn and say, how can I be different? What excites me about this? What is something I can highlight with my highlighter in the outline or what Mary Jo says that could really help me shift and create better results? Because we know one thing, if we keep doing what we always are doing, we're going to keep creating the same results. And that's none of us want to do that. And I have to keep that tweaking. Every year I've got to shift. Right now I'm making a huge shift over the next 30, 60 days. I'm going to make a big shift in my life. Okay? Because I've already got Lydia working on a couple projects for us, for our team, for our group, and I'm working on projects with Al and with for myself. Because this, I went to this event not to come out of it doing the same thing I've always been doing. And I'm already growing, you know, over, we had almost a 10% growth in the first business period this year, another growth last business period. I mean, we're growing every business period, but that's not, I want it to be better. I want to continue to tweak and be better, and that's my goal always. So let's start with Paula Pritchard. Paula Pritchard was an unusual one in the group. She was 1.5 years away from earning her doctorate degree. So why network marketing for her? Well, she got approached by somebody to do network marketing, and she just thought, well, I don't know. I'm on my way to, you know, it's very difficult when you work that hard to get a doctorate degree. At Penn, she was at Kent State. Some of you are familiar with that, and some of you are too young to know, but Kent State is during the Vietnam War where they had, you know, the police, you know, storm the campus with anti-Vietnam protesters, and a lot of people got killed. And so that's what it's probably most highly known for, but it's a good university in Ohio. And she was on her way to getting her PhD. She was 1.5 years away from getting her PhD. And so she was thinking, why should I do something else? Why she was very, very directed, and she was very, you know, what should I say, energetic and very motivated to make money in her life and accomplish great things in her life. And then PhD just seemed like her track, right? And then she went, what happened to her, after she being approached by this, she went to a meeting. It was a staff meeting at Kent State, and they were talking about this final recognition of PhD. A friend of hers finally reached a PhD and found out that she was now going to be receiving $1,500 more on an annual basis in her compensation from what she was already receiving at teaching at the school. That was her starting increase in pay. And she looked around, and she looked around, and she thought about that meeting she went to about Amway, where people were making $1,500 a day. And she sat back and she said, they're going to give me $1,500 more a year. And that's the reality set in for her, that I can have unlimited income over here, or I can get this PhD, have a few more initials after my name, and make a whole whopping $1,500 more a year starting off. And she said that just froze her. It was a turning point in her. So she decided to go, that's it. You know, I'm doing something different. And she, and you know, can you imagine the response from some of her friends? Of course, they thought she was a little crazy, and you know, and she just said, that's just not something. She says, I'm ambitious. I want to create something great in my life. I want to, you know, have unlimited income. I want to have all the things that I desire in my heart, and this PhD is not going to get me there. You know, it's going to let me have a nice salary and live a nice life, but it's definitely going to be totally limited compared to what I could create. And she had enough confidence in herself to say, that's it. And, you know, her first 15 months didn't go very well, like many, and this is an important thing to emphasize. In fact, take your highlighter and, you know, highlight that. First 15 months did not go well. How many of us can relate to that in network marketing? Right. Yeah, okay. But, and I put half of the quote in there under 2A2, if you want to look at your outline. This is the whole quote, and I apologize for this, but you can write this in. She said, quote unquote from stage, if you didn't want to quit about every other week, you weren't working hard enough. Isn't that true? If you don't want to quit every other week, you're not working hard enough. So just write that down. If I'm not wanting to quit about every other week, then I'm not working hard enough. And I so related to that because I remembered my first 6 months with Manatech, I wanted to quit every other week. And I was working really, really hard. I just wasn't getting anywhere. And you know what? When she said 15 months, I started laughing because even after my first year that I worked really hard, I still wasn't making anywhere near what I was making before. Of course, for me, that was six figures. So I was like looking at it like, okay, this is crazy. So wow, I'm making a whopping $4,000 a month. Now, some of you would be really happy with that. And I'm not, that's great. You have your own goal. But when you walk away from six figures and you step into network marketing, which is very unusual to do, you know, $4,000 a month is not going to quite cut the mustard. So I even wanted, after I got to $4,000, I tried to quit. I mean, I looked at it and thought, I'm going to quit, or I was going to do something different. And it really took one of my people in my downline to call me up and say, you can't quit. We need you. And it was like, wow, did she not know what my button was, pushing my button? I'm from contribution. I didn't even know it at the time. I didn't know my number one core value was contribution. But she hit that button, and that was it. When she had that phone call with me, I like walked away from my other huge opportunity I had just started getting involved in and was making hay and went back to doing Manatech full time. A lot of you don't even know that story, but it was you. And so it's, the idea is that if you don't want to quit about every other week, then you're not working hard enough. So work harder. So it's and you'll still want to quit, basically. So the idea, that was a turning point in her business. She also said she needed a new attitude. She'd been working at this for 15 months, and she wasn't very effective at getting people to join her. And she found out it was her languaging that was so crucial. How many of you in the call can say, I think my languaging is a little bit off because I'm not very effective? She started telling people, she said, you know what, I'm going to the, she talked to them about, I have this great opportunity, I'm going to the top in my company, and I want you to go with me because I think we would be great together. I'm going no matter what, so are you in? Isn't that a great thing? And she didn't say that to start the conversation. That was after she started talking about what this great opportunity was, that she had this exciting opportunity that was going to allow you to this, 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 and this, and ask some questions, find out about the other person, you know, what you're looking for in life. And that's how, that would be like her invite. I'm going to the top of my company. I want you to go with me because I think we would be great together. Now, how many would you feel comfortable even saying that? But that's the kind of languaging. She said it was unbelievable. Her sign-up rate went off the chart compared to where it was before. But it took her 15 months to figure out that she didn't have the right attitude about her business. You see, the problem here is that people don't want to join a test run. They don't want to run a risk that your business really isn't going to do what you think it's going to do, right? They don't want to, that's one of the questions that they have in their head. So if you reassure them that you're going to the top in your company and you want them to come along because you think you'd be great together, what a difference. Now they have camaraderie, you've just shifted their belief system. So you've changed, one little change in her invite totally changed her results. The other thing that she settled on, and I want you to highlight this in your outline too, is that quit settling for just anyone. And this is a theme that went through every single person that spoke. We go out there and we'll sign up people that are 5 feet from the grave. And then we'll work with them for 6 months because we know that if we just work harder, they're somehow going to get it and they're going to join us. She said, find people who are hungry and committed. Highlight those two words, hungry and committed. Those are the people you want to find. Hungry and committed, right? And those are the people that will help get you where you want to go. So, and you want to understand the business that you're in. And she said that, you know, she gave us 4 points on that. Let me run through them. You're in the distribution business. You are a network marketing professional. Isn't this awesome? She says, don't use the name of your company. That's your distribution outlet. You're a network marketing professional is who you are. And you're in the distribution business. Number two, she said, understanding the business you're in. Number one, you're in the distribution business. You're a network marketing professional, not a quote-unquote Manatech associate, right? Number two, other people's opinions are none of your business. For the most part, people are pretty mediocre where they are in life. They've gotten to a point and they've decided to cruise, or they've settled. So you have to realize that people who have settled, their opinions aren't very valid to you. So don't let their opinions shake your level of confidence or your belief system. And I relate to her because I came from being a lawyer. She came from being a very high professional, almost a PhD, right, in teaching. And so we both probably had the same kind of conflict that happened when friends of ours in our profession were looking at us like, what, are you crazy, right? You know, they didn't understand why we would choose such a thing. Number three, you need to reprogram. Reprogram yourself. Focus on this like kind of as a series that you're going through, step by step by step by step. So reprogram yourself. And number four was fall in love with the process. Fall in love with the process. What does she mean by that? She means if somebody says no to you, let it go. No, let it go. And I wrote down the word NEXT. That's my favorite. Some will, some won't. So what? Next. You know, but fall in love with the process. Fall in love with meeting people. Fall in love with being with them. Fall in love with the invite and watch what happens in your world. Some of you are so afraid of the process that you don't even get involved in it. You sit back on the sidelines because you're afraid to talk to people. This is the number one thing you want to do is build friends. Everybody out there is no strangers. They're just friends you haven't met yet. So fall in love with that process, right? Great. It's great. And, I could tell you examples that just happened the last 3 days with me around this. It's amazing where I just sat back and fell in love with the process. I didn't push the business. I didn't do anything. I even took the business back from somebody. And I saw him last night. He came to the Charles Billingsley thing. And he looks at me and goes, Mary Jo, I want that chart. You know, the circles. He says, I never showed him any circles. Do you ever have a guy that you've approached, they signed up, but not to do the business, just to get the products, right? And now this guy, 2 days later, he's asking me, where's that? I want to see the circles, like how to make the money. You know, the circle chart, circle diagram. Some of you start laughing going, I don't want to show people circles. Well, how about getting somebody saying, where are your circles? Right? That was great. So that was kind of fun. All right, so those 4 things, understanding the business you're in and anyway, so she went through a lot of great things that teach us. Learning how to recruit and promote is paramount. Until you learn that, you'll just go through the motions. So to me, my emphasis is all about that. I mean, she just gave us a lot of things about, you know, preparation is 80% of it. Process is only 20%. So it's preparing yourself, building your confidence and your belief, your posturing, your goals, your vision, all of that. That's 80% of it in recruiting. 20% is the process. In other words, the types of contacts, who you go after, you know, finding people that are dissatisfied with their jobs and things like that. So it's really great to understand 80% is what preparation, 20% is process. So you really want to be, you know, go after people that, you know, fit what you're looking for. Again, have those characteristics down on what you want to do. She also gave us a statistic that I thought was really cool. 50% of people are not entrepreneurs to start, so don't sweat the small stuff. In other words, you know, if 50% aren't entrepreneurs, what are you worried about getting a 50% rejection rate when 50% of the people aren't entrepreneurs? That's an immediate thing. That doesn't have anything to do with your company. Some of you, it doesn't have, and none of the rejection has anything to do with you. So get over that, all that stuff. So, but, you know, so there's the statistic is, and that's why whenever you find people, even people that are most effective at recruiting and signing people up, their numbers still are maybe 3 out of 10, because 5 out of 10 will never say yes, no matter what, because they're not entrepreneurs. They can't figure out the reward is greater than the risk, so they're not going to do that. So again, don't says it qualify. Ambitious, self-starters, energy, positive. She gave us a bunch of characteristics that fit with the other ones I talked about. You know, you just want to make your list. And I remember teaching and training on this at Manifest. In fact, it's in my ManaTrain. If you want to go back and look at that, it's the very first thing we ever posted in ManaTrain.net. And it was like, how do you find a business builder? And it talked about what are the characteristics that are most important to you and why they're so critical not to compromise on those characteristics. So you don't spend 6 months on people that don't have any of them and waste all your time because you're just so desperate. You finally got somebody to sign up. Are you going to find puppy dogs out there that just want to sign up because they want to be part of something even though they have no confidence, they have no, you know, no ambition, they have no drive, I just want to be part of something. And then you spend and invest all your time chasing rabbits. You know, we're looking for, you know, quality people. We're looking for ambitious people, self-starters, with energy, positive people. It's great. She also gave us this, and I love this one. 90% of depression is caused by indecision. So even when you feel the least bit discouraged, so you feel like you're getting sad or slightly depressed, ask yourself, what decision am I avoiding? Then make that decision and move on. And I'm giving you this information without telling you I can even relate to it because I don't recall falling into depression. Okay? My life, I choose joy 99.9% of my life. So I don't have this issue in my life, but I know a lot of people do. Well, how do I know that? Because we have half of our society is taking some kind of antidepressant or anti-anxiety medication today, which is, I think the statistic is somewhere around 50%. It was 40% 8 years ago on just Prozac, because I would compare us to less than 1% in Japan's on Prozac, and over 40% here are on antidepressants. But when you add the anti-anxiety pills, which are the same stuff, you're getting back into, you know, it's not the same, I don't want to say same condition, but you're getting back into a high level of people dependent on drugs to get them past stuff in their life. And so maybe look at what decision are you avoiding in your life that's causing you depression. All right, so cool. So she was great. She was absolutely neat. Next week, I didn't even go through. She went through her entire system step by step, and I'm going to do that next week because I was so impressed with Paula Pritchard. She was awesome. Second guy we heard from was Carlos Marin, and he also became a multimillionaire. He talked about all the steps, and I don't remember all the background behind him per se, but he really kind of focused on mindset more than anything, and he's done a lot of work around that. But he gave a statistic. He said Fast Company, I think, and I circled it because I wasn't sure. It's a magazine? Fast Company magazine? Or Fast Company? Oh, Fast Company is a magazine. Okay, thanks, Lydia. So I knew somebody would get me straight. Okay, so that's a magazine. And they published a statistic that said by 2020, 40% of the people in the United States will be independent contractors or temporary workers. Think about it. Is that a great statistic to grow your network marketing business? Absolutely. So get on board now and take advantage of this gigantic trend over the next 7 years of people entering independent contractor businesses, right? Becoming entrepreneurs. We want these people in our businesses. I'll even take a temporary worker in my business because it's not how many hours you put in. It's what you do with the hours you put in. So that's a great stat to use in your information that you share with people, and we're going to incorporate that into our system of sharing and data to use in the share. Everyone can be, do, have anything they desire as long as they're willing to obtain the mindset of those who already obtained it. If there's one thing really clear you all have learned and heard in your life is that if you want to be successful, you surround yourself with successful people. The purpose being that you start absorbing their languaging, and the languaging starts working on your mindset, so you develop the mindset they have. It's the reason we tell people when you see somebody come into your town who's a Paula Pritchard comes into your town, and you go up to her and you say, Paula, I'd like to take you out to lunch. Now she's making millions, you're making whatever, and you're taking her out to lunch. Why do you do that? Because that's the mindset of somebody successful. Be, do, have anything you desire as long as you're willing to absorb the mindset of those who already have obtained it. So look and see where are you awry. Take the people in your life that you honor, you respect, that are successful in network marketing and say, what's missing in my mindset? Do I have a crisis around money? What is it that's missing, right? And that's what you want to do. And he talked heavily about that. He said, when I see it, I'll believe it. How many of you have heard people say that? And that is absolutely false. It's backwards. When you believe it, then you will see it. So how important is our belief system? It is core, it is central. We know that Napoleon Hill. I mean, you got Magic of Believing. You got a ton of great books out there that will drive that home to you. Thoughts are things. I love this too. This is news to me. So these were good stats. The most powerful things in the universe are thoughts, because thoughts precede every action taken. The average person has 65,000 thoughts per day. The internet overall is approaching the capacity of only one human in processing memory and everything else. Isn't that amazing? Think how massive the internet is today. And he said, it's just now approaching the capacity of one human being. That blew me away. Okay, our conscious processes 15 pieces of information per second, our conscious state. But our subconscious processes 15 million pieces of info per second. How powerful is your subconscious? That's what you've got to recognize. So he says, if your conscious is not in agreement with your subconscious always wins. That's why people say, man, I'm going to go on a diet plan, What's making that decision for me? My conscious. So what happens a week later when I'm eating my hot fudge sundae? My subconscious has won out again because I haven't reprogrammed my subconscious. I'm just working on my conscious state. So a lot of times when we make commitments to do things, unless we work on what's underlying the commitment that's disturbing it subconsciously, we're never going to follow through with the commitments we make. And number one person we break commitments with is ourselves. So we got to work on and understand the power of that mindset, of that subconscious, which is where all of our beliefs and our attitudes exist, all of the history where we've stored stuff that controls what we do. For those of you who have been gone to Clemmer, we call that the number two. The number one is the head, and the number two is the heart. Our subconscious is from the heart. It's like all of those beliefs, all of those preconceptions, all of that attitude, all that stuff is right there, and that's number one and number two in the Clemmer world. All right, ultimate success formula, he gave it to us. Number one, he said, own your own life, be responsible. Two, define your dreams, establish your intentions, define what is blocking you. Notice, define what is blocking you. I want you all to highlight that because I think some of you are running away from it instead of defining it. So I think it's because we avoid it. We don't want to dig deep enough to find it. But that there's roadblocks in each and every one of us. There's a roadblock in me. I worked with Sona over the weekend, and she said, Mary Jo, why is it you're not platinum in Manatech yet? And I said, you know what, Sona? There's something blocking me on that. I always look at it, it was never my goal. My goal, because of my number one core value being contribution to everybody in my organization. And that's what drives me, is to get them to be where I am. Well, but am I unfair to my organization by not going after platinum? Is that somehow holding back my other people because I haven't achieved the top spot? Intriguing concept. So we worked around that to find what is blocking you. We got to dig. This isn't stuff that's really crystal clear. If it were crystal clear and you're choosing to allow it to block you, then you don't want to be successful. But I don't believe anyone on this phone call is sitting back saying, I don't want to be successful. So we got to find what's blocking us, define it. Get clear and focused, create an action plan, take inspired action. In other words, you're not just going out there meeting three people because you have to. There's no have to about it. It's an absolute desire to create greatness. Be it. In other words, assume the mindset of the person who is already there. Find that person, understand them, be around them, grab onto what makes them different, and duplicate it. Two optional that will expedite your results are finding a mentor and using a system. That's what I'm working on. Mentor system. Boom. Huge. Okay, so great stuff. Carlos gave us great insight. Nobuhiro Kaneko. Now, I may have butchered that in pronunciation, but this guy's from Japanese. He's from Japan. He started in, let me give you a little bit of his background. It was kind of cute. His background was he was in a different company, and the company took off, and he made lots of money. I mean, this guy was doing great. He got married. He was doing super. And the company, something happened within the company, and the company went out of business. And he was so cute. He's sitting up there, and he goes, it's really incredible how this works. He said, no more money, no more honey. His wife left him because he went broke. So it says, no more money, no more honey. It's really, I guess you had to be there to hear it with a guy with a Japanese accent, right? So anyway, then he started in the skincare line, and he said, okay, I think I can do this. And he took his mom around, and they worked at it for a year, and he sold $2,000 worth of products, and he made $2,000 on all the products that he sold. And his mother looked at him and said, time, gas, and he started listing all this stuff. He said, this is a total failure. And she was like, tell him. But he never gave up. He kept working at it after 2 years. And then he started going in the direction of contacting the best people in the industry. He went and he met with somebody. He called him up, the guy who was like top in network marketing in the country. And he called him up and he said, I have a business that I want you to look at. Oh, why would I look at a business with you? And he just never gave up. He was persistent about it. And finally, one of those people broke and came in his organization, and from there he became a millionaire. He just never gave up. And he went after the people he looked at and admired the most and thought were most ambitious. So he said his advice was to stay focused 24/7. Never lose your focus. Don't drift. Stay on focus. That doesn't mean you do your business 24/7. It just means your focus is consistent. So don't ever misread these people as saying that they're giving up their whole life to do this. They're just saying stay focused. When you start drifting, when you get lazy with your way you think and what you're doing, then laziness in your brain and laziness in your focus will rob you from effectiveness. So keep your focus. He said, you choose what you want to do in your daily activity, but have a daily plan, a daily activity plan. He said, 5 presentations to 5 people per day. That is something you're in control of. And I started laughing when I heard that because I sat back and I thought, that's exactly what the South Korean model was when the South Koreans started getting involved in Manatech. Many of you saw this happen because they basically took over Manatech. I mean, there are more South Koreans walking across stage than any other group in Manatech for years, for a period of 4 years straight. What were they doing? Everybody was asking. Well, they had a plan. Soo-Yeon Kim, the one that was in the head, the platinum presidential at the top of that whole organization, or in the majority of the South Korean organizations, she was the one that she had a plan. She had a structured plan, and it's called 5 presentations, 5 people per day. So you do this 5, and they called it the 5x5 plan. And they just duplicated that, and it was phenomenal. It was a system, and it works. Now, when I looked at this system, when I looked at this system back when it first came out, I said, people in the United States aren't going to be willing to do that. We're not going to work that because we're not going to work 12, 14 hours a day at our Manatech business. Well, that Why should I make that statement? How judgmental was that? There might be somebody in my organization that wants to work 12 hours a day because maybe their heart desire, their burning why is so big that they're willing to do anything to get there. So why am I not presenting this? Well, so today I present it. I said, it depends. You tell me how fast you want to make the money you want to make, and then I'll give you a system that will support you to get there. How many of you do that with people? Or do you just tell them, hey, make a contact list and let me start helping you call people? I mean, that's not a system. That's kind of like, let's do it by the seat of the pants. We don't have to stay too focused. Do you want to build winners or do you want to build mediocrity? Question. Good question. All right, so he was cool. Keith Halls, he's a guy that was started network marketing by being the CFO of Nu Skin. So he was one of the original seven owners of Nu Skin, and they did a $500 million they sold out for $500 million in the 1990s, so he probably got a good chunk of change. I figured it was about $70 million. But when he left, he finally decided to leave because he got so tired of being the CFO, writing all these checks for these, you know, $100,000 a month or $75,000 a month, to all these big earners in Nu Skin. He said, why can't I do that? So he quit, and he started doing network marketing, and he failed. He fell flat on his face for 9 months. In fact, he had horrific stories about inviting his upline leaders to come in because he was renting space. I mean, this is a guy that's worth $70 million trying to do network marketing. Can you imagine? Really. I don't know if he lost his $70 million, but he's out there doing network marketing. And so the first 6-9 months he was a failure. He flew his big top, you know, leaders from Canada and all over to come in to be with him because he didn't know how he could sign up. You know, he got a big ballroom in Dallas and Austin, and he didn't know how he was going to sign up all these people, so he needed help. So they flew in to be with him. The first one he held in Austin, 3 people showed up. Then he went to Houston, and he had 3 more people who showed up. Now imagine how embarrassing this would be to have your upline flown in from Canada, paid all their expense. I mean, they paid their own expenses to come down and help him sign up 500 people, and he had 3 in each of the rooms. And then he got to Dallas, and he was exhilarated. He goes, 400% increase. We had 12. Thank you, Dallas. He even said that from stage. It was hilarious. So failure. I mean, it was just incredible. And he went back home and talked to his mom. They live in Nacogdoches. Imagine this guy, $70 million guy living in Nacogdoches, Texas, or his parents live there. And he found out a few lessons. And he's got a book out there now, The 9 Lessons, I believe, in networking. But he said the most important ones, there are 2 of them. Number one is he needed to learn to always come from the heart. He was an analyst, right, in the quadrant. So where did he come from? His head, because it's all about numbers. It's all about let me show you the plan and all this kind of stuff. And he failed to listen. He failed to come from the heart and meet them in their heart. He failed. And the second thing was he said trust. He says you always must trust and be trustworthy. He said, if you aren't trustworthy yourself, you'll never get anyone to follow you. So you must live with a high degree of integrity, critical, in this business, something that didn't always happen 40 years ago in network marketing, but today it's an absolute must. We're an authentic business today. Be authentic. Always be trustworthy with people. So when you make a commitment, you follow through on it. He was great. Jordan Adler, one of my faves. This guy failed in everything. He was working for a U.S. Air, some airline company, making like, I don't know, $40,000 a year or something like that. And then they downsized because they went through bankruptcy and they cut his pay to $24,000 a year. Well, he's living in California. How do you live in California making $24,000 a year? Impossible. So he took on networking and he was thousands of dollars in debt. He stood on stage and he taped all his credit cards together, like 25 of them or something, and he dropped them like an accordion, so they all fell apart and dropped, you know, they're stuck together, but this whole group of credit cards were like an accordion, just came out of his hand. It was hilarious. And he failed miserably in network marketing, but then he finally found a mentor. He went to a guy's house, Russ Devan. I don't know who he is. He might be an Amway guy, but I don't think Adler was an Amway. He went to Russ Devan's house where he just listened. And he listened, and he took advice. He became, what is this called? This is called coachable. So you want to write that down, word down, coachable. He took advice. He went to a top guy, and he took his advice, kind of like what I did over the weekend, right? I heard from tons of top dogs. And he said, just sponsor one person per month. Isn't that incredible advice? A top leader says, sponsor one person a month. Most people give up on everything they do. 1 out of 20 or 30 will go on to grow a business. So he chose a coffee shop, and what he did is he made a commitment to himself. He said, I'm doing 3 presentations every day in this coffee shop. So he started asking all his friends at the airline and people that he came across in stores and everyone he met, and he made appointments, and he filled up his calendar. He said, 3 presentations a day at this coffee shop. He was still working his job, so almost all of them became at lunchtime or immediately after work. That's where he did his 3 presentations. And in the 14 years that he's been in the industry, he's only ever signed up 129 people. This is huge for all of you to get. Now, this doesn't mean, for some of us, we do consumers. I'm not talking about members. I'm talking about people who he showed the plan to for business purposes. He only signed up 129 people in 14 years. That's less than one a month. So he failed even on his commitment to do one a month, right? But he was doing his 3 presentations. And I'm sure he probably slowed down after he started working with other people. Out of the 129, only 5 really worked the business. So of the 129 people he signed up as business people, only 5 worked the business, really worked it. 5. And they signed up hundreds of thousands, creating over $8 million in income for him. Does this help some of you get a better picture of network marketing? Some of us have this belief that we have to go out and find 25 business builders, and they have to find 25 business, right? Right? You following me? And this is how simplistic it really got. This is how basic it really was. And this is something that happened with each and every one of those people that stood up on stage. They might have signed up 1 person a month, and out of all the people they signed up, they just were persistent and consistent. Only 5 of the people out of 129 really worked the business. But those 5 people made him $8 million in income. Pretty awesome. So he said, find the ones who are willing to work and work now. Find the next one who wants to do it and work with their organization. So as soon as you find people that want to do it now, then you work with them and support them to do the same thing. Duplicate the system, and then you start and you find the next one. But it's you want people who want it now. They're hungry. They're committed. They're willing to do something different in life. They're willing to jump on with you because what did Paula Pritchard say? Because you're going to the top and you think you can work great together. Right? Yeah. He said, that's excellent. Oh, and then I put, this is so funny. You got to look at the picture on the last page. This is the guy, I don't remember his name. Liv, what was his name? The picture. She doesn't remember either. She has no memory. But the picture of the guy on the backside was the guy who headed up the Heaven Gate Ministry. You guys might remember this back in the 90s. And he led, like, how many people? Do you remember that, Lynn? 39 people. He got to sell all their things and go with him, and they all died to be with Jesus Christ. I think this is the one where they all laid down and drank his stuff, and they all died, right? And so he put this picture up at the event, and he said, if this guy can lead people, and look at the picture on your last page of your outline, he said, clearly I can lead. His name was Marshall Applewhite, if you want to remember that guy. I remember the whole event, that when it happened, everybody was overwhelmed by it. But if Marshall Applewhite can lead people, surely you can. That's what he said. It was kind of cute. Steps to create anything. Dream. Consider that it doesn't even exist until it's in your calendar. That's a great. I highlight that on your outline, everybody, because that's something people aren't doing. Consider that it does not even exist until it's in your calendar. There wasn't one of these people that didn't tell us to live in our calendars. Live in your calendar. Trust the process, right? Trust the process. That means don't try to remake it. Trust the process and see the job through. Follow up and follow through. All right, the next person, I'm running out of time. Todd Falcone, he gave us 4 lessons. This, again, don't mess up the system, right? When someone wants to show you the system, way to make millions, don't mess it up. Don't recreate the wheel. Do it the way they tell you to do it, and you'll be successful. You recreate the wheel, now you're running into saying, I can do it better, and you can't. Why? How can you do it better than the multimillionaires that have been successful? First 2 years, he made nothing. This is Todd Falcone. A lot of you guys know, or Falcone, I think he pronounced the E. It takes patience, and always be genuinely interested in other people. This is probably the top note from Todd Falcone because he is awesome at it. He was talking about being on an airplane flight, and he was asking the guy what he does for a living, and he went on, and he asked a lot of questions, and the guy said, well, what do you do for a living? And Todd looked at him and said, you know, and Todd had a whole briefcase full of CDs, DVDs, all the information in the world, and he just looked back at the guy and says, no, I'm really interested in pursuing what you're talking about, so why don't you tell me more about this? He still refused. Isn't that crazy? I mean, it was just, but he just says, You know, you want to be interested in people, and that means authentic interest. Listen to them. Too many of us are poor listeners. We need to work on that. Do as you say. In other words, be trustworthy, be committed, and help them. Be on their side. Be their best advocate. When you become somebody's best advocate, they will follow you anywhere. And he said, this is something important for a lot of you that say, well, I'm not very good in follow-up or follow-through. I remember hearing that from people in Manitech, and some of you would say that to me today. And he said, it makes him go nuts. He looks at me and says, how can you not be something good at something when it's not skill-based? When you tell somebody you're not good at something, it's because you don't have a skill to do it. He goes, follow-through is not skill-based. It's pure calendar-based. So just put it on the calendar, right? And then he said, it's my fault. You can't fix it if you're pointing your finger at somebody else. Right? You can fix it when it's your fault. So make everything your fault. When things don't work, it's your fault. Fix it, because you truly are in control of your future. All right? Then Sarah Robbins, she was darling. This is a gal who's 29 years old right now. She's a multimillionaire at 29. Where was she 6 years ago? She was a kindergartner school teacher in Motor City, Michigan. Wow, wonder what happened to the recession there. Everything started going downhill. They were laying off teachers. She was like panicked. She was a newlywed. She's going, oh, man, what am I going to do? She started her business, and she said she threatened to quit so many times she can't even count them. What did I tell you earlier from the person? If you're not working hard enough if you're not threatening to quit every other week. So exactly with Sarah. She was threatening to quit all the time. Finally, she figured out to develop a retail business because people really liked her product. She was in a skincare line. And so so she started selling, and she finally got to the point where she was covering the income that she had been making as a school teacher, $3,000. But she, you know, so what? What's $3,000? Then she got a hold of Network Marketing Magazine, and Network Marketing Times, and she started reading, and she figured out leverage. She finally figured out leverage. So she went crazy. She decided, I'm going to find people, and I'm going to duplicate myself. I don't want everybody doing retail, because if I'm just a retail outlet, I'm limiting my income. So her next 4 years, she only sponsored 100 people. Remember the numbers I gave you earlier about Adler and these others? Only sponsored 100 people, 30 of whom are still moderately working it. 10 are working it full-time, but 3 of the people count for 80% of her income. That's a lot less than the Pareto principle, right? They would say 20% of the people account for 80%. Hers is 3% of her people account for 80% of her income. Isn't that wild? So it's about finding the nuggets, right? And if it takes you 4 years to find 3 nuggets, that's all you need. But you got to be doing consistent activity. Don't tell people to make their list. They don't know what to do. Give them, I thought this was great advice. Highlight that on your outline. Give them advice on where to find names. Email bank, Facebook, friends, Christmas card list, church directory, neighborhood party list, own phone list for house fix-ups, doctors, dentists, etc. Open the door so they can see it. Use the memory jogger as well. She said that's absolutely critical. Because when you say make your contact list, people look at you like, what's that? And it's true. They don't know. She built a terrific referral program, too. She loved to call people and just say, my business is expanding in your area. Would you like to host an event? Well, that works, you know, and it works for us, too, with XFMs, right? We could do that. So you could call people, and that's how she built the referral business. And that's how she got referrals from people, and she called people all over the country and talk about hosting events. Whenever you are thinking of approaching someone, ask, what is the risk? What she did, she had a perfect example where there's a woman that she just didn't want to approach, because she was such a top dog in the skincare industry, and she was just, you know, she was young. She was 27 years old, and she didn't want to approach her because she was, like, fearful of what she might say. Well, guess what? When she went to the national convention 2 years later, there's this woman in somebody else's downline on the stage as the next million-dollar winner. And she's sitting there looking, thinking to herself, and I knew her and never approached her. So she said, never make the, and she called it the $50 million mistake. She calls it the $50 million mistake. So risk, reward. So what if she says no? What's the reward that could come your way off the charts, right? And I loved her cure for any non-performing network marketing business, personal activity. 5 contacts per day keeps the leads coming my way. That's her little saying. It was really cute. She also had 2 other great quotes. Discipline your disappointment. In other words, when you get disappointed, discipline it. Keep it in store. Close it down. Discipline it. Don't let it take away your life or your attitude. And never too early and never too late to passionately pursue your dream. I love both of those. And then the last person I'm going to talk about today, I know we're running over a little bit, bear with me, Donna Imsen. She has 5 million distributors underneath her. She's Oriental. She was born out in Manila, Philippines, and darling as could be. She flew all the way to Dallas. 30 hours it took her to get to Dallas to be at this event. They paid her not a dime. She paid her own price for the ticket, paid for hotel, paid to be there. She says, I came because I'm a servant and I have a servant's heart. And if I can instill in any one of you direction in your life to take this on, that's what I want to do. And you're important to me because this industry is the best place in the world to be. Isn't that cool? I mean, it was awesome. How many special speakers like that? And she wasn't selling anything. A lot of the other speakers were selling their wares, you know what I mean? They might have not paid them to come, but they had, you know, tapes and DVDs and all that kind of stuff. This gal had nothing. She was coming just to be with us. How awesome is that? Okay, but 5 million distributors, that's pretty awesome too, right? And she's a young woman. This is not somebody that was in my age. She was somebody probably, I estimate, maybe in her 40s, maybe early 40s. I'm here to serve, she said. She talked about her history. She was a quiet, shy girl raised in Manila. All through grade school, she had one only friend. And she said, then I went to high school and I had 100% improvement. I had two friends all the way through high school. She got out of high school, went on her way, and ended up getting married. And her husband, they had three children, and her husband became incredibly abusive to her. I mean, they didn't talk a lot about that, but it was enough to know that it was horrible. So, in fact, after she finally got up the courage to leave her husband, she had to hide in other people's homes to avoid him. And the only job that she was able to get was like a receptionist at a factory, and that wasn't even nearly enough money to cover the cost of raising her family and definitely not the goals she had for her kids. So did she truly have an emotional dream, a why, a desire? Absolutely. She knew she wanted a better life. So she went to a meeting, and she caught on the vision, and she said, okay, I think I can do this. But she was scared to death to talk to people. But the neat thing about what Donna said is she said, my fear of where I was headed was greater than my fear of talking to people. How many of us evaluate that? My fear of what is in front of me is greater than my fear of talking to people. So she got over that fear, like, fast. She said three things totally changed her life. Dreams, she had a dream that was huge for her children, for herself, for a better life. It was so critical to have a big dream, one that has tremendous emotional connection with it, because it's the emotional connection that makes a difference. If you dream about having a sailboat, if there's no emotional connection, who cares about the dream? That's one thing I haven't emphasized in talking to people about building that dream or their why. I want a heavy emotional connectiveness. What happens when you don't achieve it? What's life going to look like without it? Those are the kind of things. What is my life going to look like without a sailboat? So what? I'll have a life without a sailboat. Nothing, right? So it's got to be something really critical to you. And it's caused me to redraft my dreams, too, and look at things. So that's part of my process I'm going through. Do. Take action. Hey, high leverage activity. She didn't use that term, but I know you all relate to that since you've looked at the flight team's tracker, right, sheet with high leverage activities. You have total control over this. She also said be a part of a team. So make sure you have team. Make sure you work together. Get a team. If you don't have one, build one. In other words, start going out there and meeting people and saying, you know what, I'm going to the top in this company, and I think you and I would create music together. I think you and I would be great to do this together. Start building that team. You can go out and build one if you don't have one. And she said, do on a daily basis. In other words, quit this stuff about weekly. Okay, here's my weekly commitments. I'm going to do 5 reactivation calls this week. She's like, she said, do it daily. You know, if you're going to do 5 a week, say at least 1 reactivation so that you don't go to bed at night until it's done. She had a concept of doing how many presentations. She said, sometimes I had to call somebody up and say, I have to give you this presentation. She didn't even go victim to it. You know, she just said, I don't even care what it looks like. I just have to do it because I have to get these in. She said, I'm not suggesting that's how you fulfill your commitment, but she said, notice how my commitment never waffled. I always did it. Sometimes I didn't do it the right way, but I did it because I wanted to be true to myself. Stay true to yourself. And she said, the servant gene is the dominant gene in our organization. So let me just summarize for you guys. I hope you enjoyed a lot of this information. I found it unbelievable. I mean, it got to the core of me. It taught me things that I didn't know about the industry, especially the fact that most of these top multimillionaires only ever signed up 100 to 200 people, and some of them had as many as 5 million people underneath them, right? So it's not about signing up 5 million people. It's about finding the right ones. And out of the 100 they signed up, only 3 created 80% of their income. That's a pretty huge statistic as well. So get a reality check on what this really is about. But what's always the same for all these people, let me give you the list, and I've added a few more at the end that I left off, so let me go through them. The failure up front, every one of them. None of them talked about making it from day square one. The value of a mentor or a team, it was huge, resounding. So is that lacking? The absolute necessity to have a life-changing reason. In other words, something that's emotionally, something that absolutely grabs your emotion. A clarity, a vision, dream, something that absolutely grabs your inner emotions like nothing else. The never quit attitude, persistence. Be coachable. Learn. Be flexible. Every one of them said they ever sponsored 100 to 200 people. It was 2 to 5 that made their money. That was huge. Here's another one. Don't settle for bones. Look for the steak. Quit settling on people. Make that chart of who you're looking for and don't settle for less. The concept of the contact list. Every one of these people worked their list. They talked about, well, that was the terminology used over and over again from stage. I worked my list. I worked my list. I worked my list. Okay? And that means working your list from contacting the people, getting referrals from the people. Work your list. Daily activity. Every day, no matter what happens, rain or shine, I had daily activity. I lived in my calendar off my daily activities. Live in your calendar, right? And do daily activities. Okay, people, that's it. That's all I got for today. That's a lot of great stuff. How many of you felt a little inspiration from some of the things? Let's share a little bit. Get yourself off mute. Tell me what you thought. Did some of this hit home for you? Or was I the only one overwhelmingly motivated by this conference and these people and their stories?
Mary Jo?
Yeah.
Boy,
Rudy?
This was a wow moment.
Isn't it?
Tremendous material.
Ah, blew me away, Rudy. I'm glad you're with me, brother.
Well, I got so many yellow highlights, I'm going to have to redo this.
Retype it up yourself. And that's what you want to do, is really focus on what's most critical for you. Yeah.
Okay.
Great, buddy. Looking forward to it.
Mary Jo, this is Ann up in Ashland, Oregon, and you were just marvelous. I just thank you so much for going to the event and bringing us the consciousness.
Yeah, it is a consciousness, isn't it? That's what it was for me.
I know. It was good for me to hear you this morning. Thank you.
Yeah, good. Thank you, Annie. I love you, dear.
I love you, too. Bye-bye.
Mary Jo, overwhelmingly life-changing. Thank you very much.
You betcha. You bet.
Mary Jo, this is Diane. I cannot believe how the struggling with money and finances always comes back to me. Hey, Rudy, how are you doing? This is one of the things that has been a tremendous issue in my life.
Yep.
And now to be able to see that it's one person at a time, it's
yep.
building a team, and it's
yep.
also knowing that I don't have to have a million people under me to make a difference in my life. All
right.
I have to do is care about a person to pick up the phone and get past my fear and say, hey, are you interested in health and wellness? Can I talk to you for a few minutes? Even just
right.
saying, can I talk to you for a few minutes?
Yeah, I'd like to share something with you. Yeah, I'd like to share something with you. Can we get together for lunch? Can you give me a couple minutes? I'd like to share something with you. Yeah, absolute. Wonderful language. And knowing that it's not about that person, knowing that you could talk to 100 people and maybe you just find one, but the one you find is really a special one, right? And that's
right.
the neat thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You bet.
Yeah, this is Dottie.
Hi, Dottie.
Hi. I just want to say, you know, thank you for taking your time to go to the event and for sharing with all of us, because that's another thing, is we just can't ever quit learning, and, you know, we're going to get tidbits or be reminded of stuff, and it's so important to do that.
Absolutely. We keep growing, right, Dottie? It's always about growth. Some people go, it was amazing to me as I'm sitting at this convention and I'm with some of the Manitech corporate people, and I looked around, I said, where are the rest of the Manitech associates in the area? I mean, I was like amazed that no one else was there, but then I started laughing at myself saying, well, Mary Jo, you've never been to one before. This is the first one I've ever gone to. Where, you know what I mean? So, but what value? Ah, amazing. Thanks.
Mary Jo, what I loved was that these were real people.
Right. Right. Exactly. Are you kidding me? This Jordan Adler guy, by the way, Jordan Adler is the guy who wrote the book Beach Money, and I bought that book. But, I mean, some of these people were just, like, they didn't have any more than high school educations. They were just average guys. And that's what made them so beautiful on stage. The humility from where they came was unbelievable. I mean, you would have sat, these guys are multimillionaires, and they stood in front of you and told you the disaster of their life and the story of their life, and all they wanted to do was try to help you. I mean, it was great. You didn't, you know, it was, I started laughing too because I thought to myself, I wonder what a professional network marketing meeting or conference would look like 30 years ago. It would probably have all these high-powered people that are just think, you know, they're all about ego, right? I mean, the lack of ego in this group of people overwhelmed me. I'm sure they all have healthy egos, but you didn't see it on stage. Does that make sense? So it was beautiful. Yeah.
Mary Jo, this is Rebecca. Just wanted to say thank you again.
You bet.
This is great. Awesome.
More great stuff.
Well,
I'm going to tell you guys, this is just a start because I'm totally committed. Like next week, I'm totally committed to bring you Paula Pritchard. Not live, but as live as I can have her on this call to walk through what she shared, which is the sum and substance of what I want to build as a system for my business. I loved everything she said. I thought it was resounding. It like filled a hole in my life. And I just was like, oh my gosh, do we need this? So next week, be prepared for another awesome Monday call because I'm going to give you this information because it was incredibly invaluable to me. And thank you for your feedback, knowing that all you guys enjoyed it as well, because that gives me more spirit to continue on this path. Because I think we're in a revival time, and I think it's, you know, we are really going to do it, and we're going to do it in a structured, systematic way to really make all of our businesses pop. And I know all of you can do it. And you know what? Like I said, it's one person at a time. And every one of you have the capacity to do that. Oh, by the way, I looked at Al in the middle of this conference. You can imagine me, because I'm, you know, never shy on communicating what I'm feeling. And I looked at Al at this one point, and I said, just explain to me why the heck we are talking about Platinum Presidential on stage at Manifest all the time. That is absurd. I said, you guys are feeding towards one half of 1% of the population in that room. Why aren't we feeding on the 99.99%? And he looked at me and goes, good point, Mary Jo. So if we hear about Platinum Presidentials one more time off the stage, you're going to see Mary Jo fly out of her seat and say, I want to hear about national director status. I want to hear about executives. I want to hear about just getting the regional. I want to hear about working that and looking at the phenomenal results we can create in people's lives one step at a time. That's what I want to hear.
This is Diane, and I have always felt like a total failure. I've been in Manitech for 16 years as a product user, but have never, ever, ever been able to put the business together with fears, money, issues, or whatever, because I've been to Manifest, and I look at these people and think, oh, my God, what are you doing here, Diane? You can't add two and two, let alone anything else. But this is the first time anyone has ever, ever said what's been in my heart. It's like, how do you get people training so that,
right.
I had said to Dr. Sunder once, if I could push play and didn't have to open up my mouth, I would be fine. You know, serious.
Well, we're going to focus on. Yeah. Well, let me tell you, this manifest, we're going to be focusing on opening that mouth and coming from heart. And that's all going to be about how do we share from heart. Because truly, as I said to Al, I said, the invite and the recruiting process is the most important, and why are we not dedicating all our time on that? We should be just take the most important parts of what our business is and empower everybody to do it. And let's build a world full of national directors, because you know what? If we build a world full of national directors, they're going to be people catapulted to platinum just because you can't help but get there. If everybody gets on board that wants to be a national, you're going to get to platinum without even thinking about the silly word platinum. Okay?
If I made $1,000 a month, my husband would have a massive heart attack.
Oh, you're going to get there. Oh, I believe in you, Diane. You're going to make it, babe. You're going to make it. We're going to make it happen.
Yep. Mary Jo, this is Evangeline. I just want to thank God for your loving and caring servant's heart, and you never give up on us. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, I love all of you. I want you all to have what I have and more. I mean, it's all doable. It's just let's start from the basics. Let's get this right. This go, okay? All right, everybody, I love you. I got to let you go because I got to run, but I love you, and don't forget, next Monday we're going to do Paula Pritchard, and I think you'll love every bit of that like you did this one, but take these notes and run through them. If you have questions, let us know. I just think there's more meat in this outline than probably any outline I've ever given you since the time
love
I started
you,
my Monday
girl.
Call. So
love you,
I love you all. Have a great week. All right, everybody.
You
love you. Bye.
Bye.